Welcome to the Love Well Podcast, first episode of the new year. It's great to have you guys with me. Took a month to recharge the batteries and try to refill the creative tanks a little bit. This week has seen some new blog posts and different things, so check that out at danielmrose.com. You can also check out my other podcast that I contribute to called the Simple Theologian Podcast. That is with my good friend Mike, and we have a great time each week posting that. What else here? Tuesday nights, Doubt on Tap is a conversation that I host with Mike, where we talk about important things together, and it is just an absolutely great time hanging out together. So would love for you to join us and be a part of those conversations every Tuesday night, 8 o'clock at the Tap Room. You can find out more about that, facebook.com/doubtontap, and come join us. It's a blast. As far as anything else that's going on that you may want to be aware of, Super Bowl Sunday, open invitation to come hang out at my place for a Super Bowl party. Love to have you out. Come hang out with the people. The next week, February 9th, network of missional communities that I give leadership to, we have our annual meeting. It's really more like an annual celebration. And we are going to be doing that at Fellowship EPC in South Lyon at 5 o'clock dinner. And then we'll take care of some stuff. If you want to hear more about what my missional community network that I lead is going to be up to, kind of where it's been, where it's going, come on out, 5 o'clock, February 9th. Love to have you join us to learn more about that and how you can be involved. So those are kind of the big announcement things. So without further ado, why don't we jump into this week's episode? We've been, as we closed out 2019, I was spending a lot of time talking about spiritual growth and how do we grow? How do we take steps of growth? And so we talked about grace, truth, and time. Very important foundational principles for growing. And so as we continue kind of down that path, we're going to talk about spiritual disciplines. We're going to talk about some ways that that you can practice your spiritual life so that you're ready, you know, you're ready to live it out in the real world. Because that's really what spiritual practices or spiritual disciplines are all about. They are there to get us ready. They're the practice field. They're the practice court. It's not game time. Because game time is when it comes time for us to love well, and we need to be ready. We need to be ready to love well when the opportunity comes. And so as I was thinking about this, and thinking about how do we get ready to love well, the same memory comes to mind, and that was going to work for my dad. And I was a kid, and I was excited because my name was on the building, and so I assumed that I would get to work some cushy, easy job and make big bucks. Our family owned a car dealership in Commerce, Michigan, and I thought for sure I'd be rolling in there, selling cars. I mean, I was 13 or something at the time. So I definitely wasn't going to be selling cars, but that's kind of what I had in mind, right? And making bank. So I could not have been more wrong. My expectations were one thing, and reality was going to be something painfully different. So that first summer that I worked at Rose Jeep Eagle, I spent 3 months cleaning the shelves in the parts department. Every day I worked, I would leave just covered head to toe in black grime. Nasty. It was exhausting, boring, and it was just a dirty grind. It was so, oh man, it was so gross. It was, yeah, I can't even tell you. My poor mom, when she would pick me up, I swear she was going to at some point begin to force me to change clothes at the end of my working day, because it was just disgusting. The second summer that I worked at the dealership, I painted the lifts in the service center, painted them this bright yellow. I'll never forget it. Again, boring, dirty experience. Just a grind, because you see, you know, before you couldn't just go paint them, right? Like, you had to degrease them, and then, you know, you had to try to like scrape them, get some of the old paint off. It didn't have to get it all perfectly off or anything like that, but it wasn't just, hey, I'm gonna go slap some paint. It was, you know, it was a grind to do it the right way. The third summer, I took a step up in the world. I became a porter. Now, since I couldn't drive, it just meant I spent my days in this small garage behind the dealership. It was this teeny tiny little building, you know, basically just a one-car garage with a little bit of extra space. And I cleaned cars, and I would prepare them for delivery, or I would detail a customer's car after they, you know, were serviced. Along with that, I also had the big time responsibility for washing windows, sweeping and mopping floors. The first time I mopped the floors, my dad says, "Son, clearly you've never been in the Navy. That, my boy, is not how you mop a floor." I also learned from my grandpa Rose that only an idiot would allow plants to touch a wall or a window, because whichever leaves are touching them would die. Danny, don't be an idiot. You're a rose. That's this is kind of what my grandpa basically said. I don't know how many times, but that was... I learned a lot. And so I think at some point my dad figured out, that I was growing frustrated with all these little kind of menial jobs. He's got this amazing intuition for reading people and steering them, and seeing into them and knowing kind of exactly what they need to hear. I think that's what made him a great salesman. And I think just being able to watch him do that, has helped me so much in my life. But one day we were, quote unquote, walking with a purpose, another lesson learned at the dealership. So we were walking with a purpose to another task that I was about to be assigned. And he said, "Son, do you know why you're doing all these things?" "No," I responded, right, with that kind of teenage churlishness that I've now discovered is apparently a genetic trait within Rosemen, because I experience it on a regular basis within my house. But what he said stuck with me. He said, someday I hope this place will be yours, and there will be people who you have to tell to do jobs that nobody wants to do. When you do, you have to be able to say, I know you don't want to do this, neither did I, but these jobs have to be done. I did them, and I need you to do them now. Son, when your name is on the building, you work twice as hard for half the money. People will never think you do. Watch at the end of the day. Most of our employees gather around the time clock to punch out 15 minutes before we close. The people whose name is on the building are still at their desks, still on their phone, and still with customers. Why? Because our name is on the building. And I tell you what, I started watching, I started paying attention, and it was true. All of it. My grandpa Rose never entered the building without trash from the parking lot in his hands. Why? Because his name was on the building. In a very real sense, my brothers, cousins, and I were freely given an opportunity to make money and to have jobs, but we couldn't just pretend to work. we had a responsibility to work hard and honor the name. So here's the deal. When it comes to our faith, we've been given everything. Grace demands that we bring nothing to the table. Just like my brother's cousins and I, we didn't bring anything to the table, but we were given everything. We should just showed up and we had a job and we could make money. When we start thinking about our faith and start thinking about grace, it's kind of that same thing. We don't have anything to offer. We don't bring anything. We don't deserve to be redeemed, rescued, and reconciled. Yet God has done that. Christ, he's brought about this reconciliation through his self-sacrifice. We offer nothing and we get everything. Peter writes this. This is from the Message, and sometimes I love the Message because it challenges the way I hear some of these verses or passages that I've heard a lot. And so this is 2 Peter 1:5-9. Peter writes, "So don't lose a minute in building on what you've been given, complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love, each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus." Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. The how of growing and building these qualities in our lives, that's what spiritual practice is meant to do, right? I mean, these qualities that Peter lays out of growing and maturing in our faith, it's all well and good to read that in the Bible and to talk about that and to just kind of throw that out and say, yeah, this is what we're trying to do. But it really begs the question of how. How do we do it? You know, how do we become mature? How do we progress in spiritual maturity and in the maturity of even just being a human being? And so that's what spiritual practice is meant to do. It's really meant to be about the how of growing in our faith. And so over the next few weeks here, what I want to do is we're going to spend some time kind of looking at these things a little bit. We're going to spend 1 week talking about abstinence, the discipline of abstinence. And then the second week, we're going to talk about the disciplines of engagement. And these are the two kind of categories of spiritual practice that Dallas Willard, in his book, Spirit of the Disciplines, lays out. So you have the disciplines of abstinence, the disciplines of engagement. So we're going to walk through that. The disciplines of abstinence are solitude, silence, fasting, frugality, chastity, secrecy, and sacrifice. So we'll walk through all of those. We'll take a few minutes on each one in the next episode of the podcast. And then the following week, we're going to talk about the disciplines of engagement. These are study, worship, celebration, service, prayer, fellowship, confession, and submission. That'll be our next week. And Willard writes about the disciplines. He says this. He says, "A discipline for the spiritual life is when the dust of history is blown away, nothing but an activity undertaken to bring us into more effective cooperation with Christ and the kingdom." I want you to think about that for a minute. A discipline for the spiritual life is when the dust of history is blown away, nothing but an activity undertaken to bring us into more effective cooperation with Christ and his kingdom. When we are looking to love well, when we are looking towards this whole process of being a people who are going to live self-sacrificial lives. That kind of thing just doesn't happen by accident. It's not something we just kind of luck our way into. It's not a natural thing. Self-sacrifice is not natural. Putting other people before yourself is not natural. Loving your enemies is not natural. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, it's not natural. Loving your neighbor as yourself, not natural. None of these things are we just born with, right? Yeah, there are some people who are really good at seeing and identifying the needs of other people, and they serve, but so often when those people are doing things, it's totally out of a selfish kind of ambition, right? Where they want to be needed, and so they put themselves in a place to be needed, so they can serve other people, so that then they can be needed more, and so it's this cycle, and oftentimes that looks altruistic, but when those people kind of dig down deep, they find out that no, it's really not. It's more of a desire to be wanted or needed. And so no matter who we are, if we're going to learn to love well, we have to practice. We got to do some things out of the spotlight. We got to do some things in us and within our faith communities to get ourselves ready. And so these intentional practices of abstinence and engagement, they help do that. They help lay the foundation. They help get us ready for when it's game time. And we've talked about that in some previous episodes of this podcast, you know, about being ready when life kind of comes at you unexpected, which is all the time. You know, we don't wake up one day and think, all right, I know exactly what's going to happen today, because we don't. You don't know what's going to happen today. Today is potentially going to be a very hard day, and we have to have laid the foundations to be able to respond in the moment. And that's what we're talking about here. It's just like growing up in the dealership, just like growing up working for my dad. You know, it's all those crappy jobs. They were preparing me for when it counted. They were preparing me for the day when I was wearing the shirt and tie, for when I was Mr. Rose. Even to this day, they've prepared me for being able to lead. I don't think I'd be the leader that I am today if I didn't have those experiences growing up of doing those hard jobs and learning how to put my nose to the grindstone and doing those menial tasks that I did not want to do. And even when I was younger, when I was in my early 20s, I could not have put my finger on this. It's only now that I'm older, that I've had kids, that I can look back on those experiences and think, okay, I get it. I know what my dad was doing. And even though I can remember that, I could tell that story, you know, the profundity of what my dad told me that day on our intentional walk to a task that I was not going to want to do, it never really clicked. But as I have now begun to intentionally try to help other people grow in their faith, as I've tried to intentionally grow in my own faith, these basic things, these fundamental tasks, these practices, these spiritual disciplines of engagement and abstinence, that we practice where nobody sees, or nobody's really paying attention, or nobody else really knows except maybe our inner circle, Man, these are the things that prepare us for when it counts, that prepares us for go time. So whatever it is that you do, you might be thinking, well, I'm not really a spiritual person. And I guess my question would be, I don't know why you're listening to my podcast. Because in a lot of ways, this podcast is for those who are seeking kind of spiritual growth and trying to figure out how to love well, as Christ is loved. I'm glad you're listening. But let's say spirituality or whatever is not your thing. It's okay. That's okay. Regardless, if you're just trying to grow up, if you're just trying to come to a place of being a mature adult that is gonna love well, that is going to be just a good person in this world, I think these disciplines of abstinence and engagement, I think they cut across. I really do. I think you'll see that the practice of solitude, silence, fasting, frugality, chastity, secrecy, and sacrifice, these are things that cut across all religious traditions. And I'd argue even non-religious traditions. I think we see these in the lives of great people being practiced. And I think the same is true of study, maybe not necessarily worship, but celebration, service, prayer. It could be meditation or anything along those lines. Fellowship, confession, submission, all this stuff, man. It goes beyond Christianity. It goes beyond one religion. These are the ways of growing up. These are the disciplines that it takes to become mature, to become a person. And you know these people, right? Who you are around, and you're just like, that dude's a grown up. I want to be like them. These are the things. These are the things that we do to become a grown-up. Because you see, to love well is to continue to grow into our Christ-likeness. As we do, we learn to love ourselves more truly, which frees us to love our neighbor and even our enemy. That's what we're after. That's what we're after. So the next couple of weeks, we're going to nail down these things, these disciplines of abstinence and these disciplines of engagement. And hopefully these next few podcasts will be helpful to you. And then we'll see where we go from there. If there's stuff that you'd love to hear me talk about on this podcast, please reach out. Please comment on iTunes or wherever it is that you listen to this podcast. Hit me up on Facebook or Twitter. Both of them you can reach me at Daniel M. Rose, facebook.com/DanielMRose or twitter.com/DanielMRose. Would love to hear from you and would love to know what it is. Know some things that you'd love for me to talk about each week on this podcast. Because, in some sense this little podcast is for me. In other ways it's in a lot in most of the ways though it's for you. And so let's engage in a conversation. Let me know what you want to hear. All right. So next week we are talking about the disciplines of abstinence. And yeah, I hope you'll join me. We'll talk soon. But until then, love well, my friends.